This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
We need to sit and think, who can I bless? What can I do for somebody else? And the more we do that, the less we're going to have ourselves on our mind. And the less we have ourselves on our mind, guess what? The happier we're going to be. Well, one of the most powerful things that we can do as Christians is to learn to serve others. We're the hands and feet of Jesus, and people experience the love of God through us. Watch this teaching on serving others, and then I'll be back with a special report that I believe will be a real blessing to you. I want to talk today about the power of serving others. Thank you for that. I'm grateful for that one human over there that's excited. You know, this year we've called it a year of thanks at Joyce Meyer Ministries, and we've done a lot of special things even at the office, like in our ministry bookstore. All year we've had people post little notes of things that they're thankful for, and so the windows are just covered with all these little sticky notes, because the Bible says be thankful and say so. But it's important not to just say so with words, but to also say so with our actions. And I believe that one of the greatest ways, one of the most practical ways that we can say thank you, God, for everything that you've done for me, is to do something to help somebody else. Yes. Amen? The word servant has... It kind of comes across sometimes in a way that we don't like. It kind of has an unpleasant, unimportant, even belittling feeling to us. We see it as a low position, perhaps something that you do if you can't do anything else. But Jesus said it is actually the greatest thing of all. He that is the greatest is the servant of all. But I don't believe that servanthood is just a job that you go get where you, whatever, you know, you're the janitor in the school, or you cook for somebody, or you're doing some kind of a task that we might term serving. But I believe that no matter what we're doing, that if we do it with the attitude of being a servant, that's what God's talking about. I am, right now, I have full authority in this room. So I guess the way the world looks at it, you could look at it like, yeah, you know, pretty important up there today. She's got the stage. She's got everybody's, you know, looking at her. But see, I have to always keep in mind that I'm doing this as a servant of God. And so even though I'm the teacher and one with authority today, in my heart, I'm here to serve God and to serve you, to make your lives better. So whether you're a secretary, or you're raising children, or you work in a factory, or you're a doctor, whatever your position is, however you're expressing your gifts out in the world, you want to always go out with the attitude, I'm here to serve. Amen? I'm here to serve. And looking at it the way that most people would look at the definition of that word, I would probably say that I'm not overly inclined to that kind of serving. I don't really have a real strong helps gift in that way, but I am serving and I am helping in a different way. I'm serving spiritually, I'm helping spiritually, and I just felt that it was important to get a little better definition of this word before we get started, because it certainly means a lot more than mopping a floor or cooking a meal or cleaning the toilet. Everybody, every single believer needs to have the attitude, I'm here to serve. And I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. We need to be aggressive. Everybody say aggressive. We need to be aggressive in praying for and looking for ways that we can serve and/or/help other people. We need to look for ways. We need to pray for ways. We need to sit and think, who can I bless? What can I do for somebody else? And the more we do that, the less we're going to have ourselves on our mind. And the less we have ourselves on our mind, guess what? The happier we're going to be. Amen. So we're going to start with Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24. We're going to take our time today for this time that we have and go through some scriptures together that I believe God is going to use to really help us get this in a deeper way than ever before. Whatever may be your task, whatever may be your task, the job's not important. What we're doing is not important. We are to work at it heartily from the soul as something done for the Lord and not for man. I'm telling you, it would change your attitude toward your job in a dynamic way if every day when you go to work, you would think, I'm going today to serve you. This is what you have given me to do for right now. Even if you don't like it, do it unto the Lord and do it with a good attitude, because when we do it that way, then we put ourselves in a position for God to promote us to another thing. But many times when we're having to do something we don't like, it's a test. It is a character test. And we need to be grateful where we're at, and we need to bloom where we're planted and not have a bad attitude. And I'm grateful that you are excited about loving your job. Amen. I'm teasing you. All right, Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord and not from men that you will receive the inheritance, which is your real reward. So when anything we do, if our heart attitude is, God, I'm doing this unto you, then God will reward you. I want you to get that. God will reward you. The one whom you are actually serving is the Lord Christ, the Messiah. Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to begin in verse 32. Some of the scriptures that I've got today, they're like whole stories and they're a little bit long, but I just thought, you know what? We're just going to do this and do it right. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them, the people, from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So we see that at the end of time, there's going to be two classes of people, sheep and goats. Now, sheep and goats have totally different personalities. They have totally different temperaments. Sheep need to be led, and they're pretty easily led. And they make this little sound that's kind of sweet. Bah. Bah. The way I sound when Dave asks me to do something I don't want to do. Bah. Yes, honey. But goats, they're always butting up against something. They're always banging their head against a wall and bucking up against something. And so goats say, but, 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 but. And so we have sheep people and goat people. And sheep people are easily led to do what God wants them to do, but goat people always have an excuse and a reason why they can't and are not going to do what they should be doing. And especially when this is applied to helping other people. You know, we all love to be helped, and we all love to have somebody do something for us, but we're here to serve. I said we're here to serve. And you know, we can either spend our life getting what we can get from people, or we can make a complete turnaround today and we can start seeing what all we can do for other people, and then we can find out what God can do for us. I don't want to be satisfied with just what I can get from a person. I want to find out what God can do, because he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that we could ever dare to hope, ask, or think. Sadly, many people miss the rewards of God because they're always only looking at what people can do for them. Forget about what somebody can do for you and set your mind on what you can do for somebody else. And trust me, if you start asking God and praying, what can I do for somebody else, it will not take him very long to show you. Thus, why we probably don't pray the prayer more often. Okay, now Jesus begins to explain, or Matthew does, but it's coming from the Holy Spirit, a little bit more about what he meant. Verse 34, then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, you favored of God and appointed to eternal salvation. Inherit, receive as your own the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you brought me together with yourselves and you welcomed and entertained and lodged me. Now, let me just say something before I go any further here. We know that we're saved by grace. We're not saved by works. So I'm going to give you a statement today. We're not saved by serving, but we're saved for serving. Amen. So even in this verse, it kind of looks like, well, you know, wait a minute then. He's talking about those that are saved, and then he goes into the good works that they did. But the whole point is, honestly and truly, and I believe this with all my heart, anybody who is genuinely born again, you cannot never change. It is just not possible to be filled with the Spirit of God and never, ever want to do anything for anybody else. And if that's the case, then maybe you need to go back to square one and have a good chat with God. I am so tired of this kind of Christianity that kind of presents the idea that no matter what kind of a sloppy life we live, God is good and he's merciful and, you know, we're going to go to heaven anyway. Everybody's going to go to heaven, you know. Well, the Bible tells us that you must be born again, but there's also great evidence in the Word of God that we're saved for a purpose and that God wants to lead us in to that purpose. How many of you believe that we should see some changes after we're born again? Verse 36, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me with help and ministering care. I was in prison and you came to see me. Doing these things gives us an opportunity to partner with and participate with God in his work in the earth. Amen. Then the just and the upright, verse 37, will answer him and say, well, when did we see you hungry and give you food? And when did we give you something to drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and welcomed you? Or when did we see you sick? Or when did we see you in prison? Verse 40, and the king will reply to them, truly I tell you, insofar as you did it for one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. And then he turns it around and looks at it from the negative side. I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was sick, you didn't visit me. I was in prison, you didn't help me. Well, Lord, when did we see you in all these terrible situations? I mean, you know, any of us would think, well, of course I would do that for Jesus. Come on now. Well, I mean, certainly if Jesus was hungry, I would feed him. How many of you couldn't sit and fill your own bellies if you knew Jesus was sitting right over here hungry? You'd have to share what you had, wouldn't you? Amen? And so he said, if you have not done it for the least of these, my brethren, then you have not done it unto me. So here's the bottom line. However we treat people, Jesus takes that very personally. And this has been a big eye-opener for me that I began to get revelation on, thankfully, a good 20 years ago, that if I mistreat somebody or I ignore their need or I refuse to help them when I could, God doesn't like it. And let me tell you something. His spirit lives in me, and if he's unhappy, then I feel that. And you do too. And so all we can do by helping other people is increase our joy and be happier and happier and happier. Selfish people cannot be happy. You just cannot be happy and selfish. And there's probably people here today, or certainly people watching by TV, and you just wonder what's wrong with your life, and I don't know why I'm not happy. And well, you know, the answer may just be, and don't stone me, but it may just be that you're selfish. I mean, just saying, I don't know for sure, but that was my problem. I was a selfish preacher. But I can tell that that's not as big of a problem with you. Okay, Matthew 20, verse 20. I mean, that scripture just, it grips me. It's like, if you've not done it for them, you've not done it for me. Then the mother of Zebedee's children came up to him with her sons, and kneeling, worshiped him and asked a favor. And he said to her, "What do you want?" And she said, "Give orders that these two sons of mine might sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." Well, isn't that what most people want? They want to be in charge of something. I want to be the boss. Well, can I tell you a little something about being the boss? Here's what you get. You get a lot of responsibility. And you get a lot of work. And no matter what decision you make, there's always somebody that doesn't like it. So you better understand both sides of being in charge. And when you're in charge and something doesn't go right, it falls on you. One of the things that probably is the bigger challenge for me is I've been doing this for 40 years, and I never go anywhere that I'm not responsible for something. And sometimes I think, I wonder what it'd be like just to go to a meeting like this and just sit there and not have to make sure everything else in the building is going right. Or so you got to understand that just wanting to be in authority can be very, very foolish if you're not prepared to do the other side of what it takes. And while I'm there, let me just say something else. People have always got something to say about not agreeing with the person that is in charge and the decisions they make. Well, I don't think you should. And if I were you, I wouldn't. Let me tell you something. You have no idea what you'd do. Nor do you understand the full story. Most people sitting on that side, every decision they make would be something that would benefit them. But the person in charge can't just benefit one person. They got to look at everybody. Boy, this is good for us. So be a little more merciful in your attitude toward your boss and the people that are in authority over you. Amen? How many of you are in a position of authority over other people? Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you something really important. You make sure, as someone who represents Christ, that you treat the people under your authority with the greatest amount of excellence, with respect. You be appreciative to them. You give them credit where credit is due. If you have anything to do with determining their salaries, you make sure that you pay people well. Don't pay them the least amount you can get by with. Pay them the most you can come up with. Amen.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the teaching. You know, serving others is a big part of who we are here at Joyce Meyer Ministries. Hand of Hope, our missions outreach, has been working in China for more than 20 years, distributing hundreds of thousands of my books in their language, DVDs, and USB drives with teachings on them. These resources help build and encourage the underground church, which is under great persecution right now. Recently, with the help of our friends and partners, we brought 500 church leaders out of China into Asia for 2 days of Bible training, and it was such a great time of learning and refreshing for them. We spoke to some of these leaders, and they shared their testimonies of what God is doing in China today. Take a look at how China's economic and technology boom is impacting the church, and I'll be back with some final thoughts right after this.
In the last 15 years, China has experienced incredible economic growth, a technology boom, and massive changes in urbanization, as tens of millions of people have been moved from the countryside into the cities. It's an effort by the government to further boost China's economy. These changes have dramatically impacted the church. We've concealed the identities of these church leaders to protect them from possible punishment from the Chinese government.
Our church has been really focused on trying to bring the gospel to the youth in the cities. This was a challenge for the church that was used to countryside church planting and worship. And now to have this totally new environment is really quite a change. So you have to adapt depending on where you are. Our church is pretty much all young people. It's largely students, so we strategically place our church right next to the college. What I have seen with a number of students is that when they are in college, they're very open to things they perceive to be non-Chinese, and some of them come to church just out of curiosity. It's always amazing to watch God's work in the lives of every student as they meet Jesus and are changed by Him. It's amazing to see these Joyce Meyer materials getting into the hands of young people. They'll put it in their phone within seconds and be watching it and reading material and copying it and passing it on to somebody else. We can copy and distribute and share like we never could before. There are two areas where I have really seen the effectiveness of Joyce's message. The first is in matters of family relationships, and the second is in the healing of personal wounds. In China, we had heard about the divorce rates in the West, especially in America, rising and becoming a really serious issue. And we were amazed by that before. But now we see in modern-day China, this problem is also starting to arise here, and divorce has become a really big problem. The economy has gotten better in China, and a lot of money has come into the society. And so there's been a lot of changes, and many people have become unsatisfied. Society is falling apart, and at the core of that, family is falling apart. So there are many people that come from broken homes, and once they hear about the love of God, and through Joyce Meyer's teaching, learn what it is to experience this love in a family, and how it heals a family, then they experience healing in their own lives. A lot of us are not accustomed to talking about these things, but through Joyce Meyer's teaching, hearing about what it is to be healed from your wounds and experiences, this has been really powerful. So far, we have done 45 video messages. Each one of those messages that Joyce Meyer is sharing has been dubbed into 4 different languages that are spoken in China. We have been really blessed by Joyce Meyer's testimony, what she personally went through, and how God's love helped her to overcome her own experiences, even though she's from a different background, different culture. In many ways, it seems like a lot of differences, but there's always these similarities of experiences. Whenever there is suffering and difficult struggles, people connect in that praise. I had many challenges at home growing up. The lack of a mother and father's love. I had been beaten by my parents, beaten by my father, and I felt this kind of harshness from them, and it just put in me a real rebellious spirit. I didn't want to honor them or obey them. So learning from Joyce Meyer the power of forgiveness, the power of overcoming and forgiving sin, and especially forgiving sin in the family, where it can be most difficult, it has been really powerful and helpful to me. Through her, I have really learned to honor my parents and to love and serve my family. 2 years ago, I was actually so moved that I went to my parents and asked them to take their shoes off so I could wash their feet. My parents were both very touched. Tears were streaming down their face. I would say I was totally set free at that moment.
Well, I think it's exciting to see the opportunities that God has opened up today through technology. It is being used to spread the gospel at an amazing speed in China. Hand of Hope continues to work with Chinese church leaders to effectively reach young people in urban areas as the needs there continue to change. So thank you for being part of that. Your giving is what makes it possible for us to have a real impact for Christ on our Chinese brothers and sisters, as well as enabling us to do so many other things all around the world: disaster relief, medical outreaches, orphanages, feeding children, providing clean water, providing education. I love helping people, and I love the fact that you love helping us. And so today, we're asking you if you will send in a special financial gift marked for missions, and we're going to use it just to continue helping the church in China, as well as doing many of these other things around the world that God has given us an opportunity to do. You know, I don't know how long the door will be open for the preaching of the gospel, because I don't know when Jesus is coming back. But I do know that the time is short, and I know that we need to do everything we can do while the door is open to do it. And right now there are so many opportunities that we don't want to miss. Let's all work together and help the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us today, and bless you for your offering that I believe you're going to send in.
Here in Houston, Texas, disaster has hit families hard, and we know that it will take a long time to recover. But at Hand of Hope, we are committed to be here to help, and we need your help to make it possible. You see, together we can come into a situation like this and offer hope in the darkest times. That's what's happening right here today, and that's also what is happening around the world with our other missions outreaches. Whether it's feeding children, helping offer medical care, offering clean water, together we can show people what God's love is all about, and you can be part of it. Call us right now.
Today, for your donation of any amount towards the outreaches of Hand of Hope, we'd like to send you Joyce's book, Promises for Your Everyday Life. Contact us now, 1-800-727-9673, or go to joycemeyer.org.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.